Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
As the end of the school year is in sight for both primary and post-primary students, school communities are finally getting a chance to reflect on the turbulent months they've just endured as schools opened, closed and then opened again as a result of COVID lockdowns. But what has been the impact of this disruption on students, and particularly those in pupils in areas of social disadvantage? Well, in a new series across Radio 1, Evelyn O'Rourke will be exploring these issues and talking to pupils, teachers and experts. And Evelyn joins us this morning with the first part of this series. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning, Claire.
So we're going to begin today with a visit to the team at the Rutland National School in the heart of Dublin's North City Centre. And you got a great welcome.
Oh yeah, what a fantastic school there on Gloucester Place on Sean McDermott Street, right in the heart of town, as you say. And you can see the spire actually from many of the classroom windows, which is lovely. And this school was made famous years ago when children from the school took part in the famous Give Up Your Old Sins recordings, which people, of course, remember so fondly. And it's a DESH school, Urban Band 1, DESH standing for Developing Equality of Opportunity in Schools. And there are 887 schools in that category across the country. And it's a category, I suppose, of school that offers additional supports and resources to communities, everything and anything from food programmes to school completion programmes to extra teachers and support workers. And really at the school in Rutland, they've just such a wonderful team there. And when I visited the other day, and I love going into these schools, the place was buzzing, everyone was chatting around the place, the walls were covered in beautiful artwork and the atmosphere was just great. And the school there has 160 pupils, but it also has a preschool. And what's interesting about this, it's the Holy Child Preschool. It's a one of a kind place because the staff at the preschool are fully trained national school teachers. So the supports really for local families are great. So while most of the pupils, of course, live in wonderful, supportive, you know, family environments, the school does have a small number of pupils living in vulnerable situations, for example, homeless hubs. And when lockdown happened, there were serious concerns about the impact of sudden cut off from school services on those communities, I suppose, in particular. So I got to sit down with the school principal of Rutland National School, Niamh Murray, who's a passionate advocate for her school and her team. She describes the challenges that COVID lockdowns had, from families sharing one phone or, you know, one iPad for education, to the emotional effects that the situation has had on her pupils.
So during the first school closure, from March through to the summer, we had about 25% of children not engaged, quite high. And I know some of the principals had a meeting, a wider Dublin meeting, and, you know, a principal in quite a middle class school said, well, I have that as well. And I said, but here, this community, if children are out on the streets in the area, there are drugs being sold, there are much greater risks for my children to be out of school in that sense. So I suppose that was a big concern, in the sense of it's about the social context as well. During the closure, there was a lot of emphasis on the digital divide and the need for IT. And absolutely, I would fully support that, particularly at second level. I would have seen it as a much more nuanced problem. I have a number of children who live maybe in the care of their grandparents. Maybe the grandparents may not have been able to support the children. There are parents who would have had mental health difficulties. There may have been addiction in a family. You know, it's quite complex. And I suppose there's a lot more to it than just the technology. And at the time, you know, I was very struck by who was responsible here. That whole area around school attendance, non-engagement, would have needed to be looked at in a bit more detail. You know, we were quite alarmed in this school and in schools like our own. We have a homeschool community liaison who did fantastic work. During this closure, the more recent closure, there are a very, very small number of children, very small, who we would have had concerns around their home situation where social work would be involved. So the homeschool liaisons were doing that work. It was like they were kind of triage for social work. So as time went on, you can be quite worried about certain children. And I know Carol Coulter from the Childcare Law Reporting Act, one of the things she said, when the school is closed, you don't have eyes on the children. And teachers see the children every day. So when the schools are closed, children who are already at risk are at a much, much greater risk. There's a small number of children who have found it very difficult to settle back in, who would have been at risk, absolutely. There's a new project in the area called City Connects. So the City Connects coordinator is linking children up with the relevant after-school service, because I suppose we're 7 weeks off the summer, so it's really important that children who are vulnerable are linked in with services.
Niamh Murray there, principal of Rutland National School. And Evelyn, the education sector is only beginning to grapple now with the effects that the lockdown has had on children, especially those children who live in areas of social deprivation. And Dr. Paul Downes is someone who has a particular interest in this area, and you've been speaking speaking to him.
I have, Claire. Dr. Downes is Associate Professor of Psychology of Education in the Institute of Education at DCU. And he believes that the effects are going to have to be explored, of course, for some time. I mean, he says that basic elements of children's lives were disrupted. You know, things as basic as sleep patterns to routines. And he's particularly concerned about the emotional well-being of children living in poverty who may have regressed due to the disrupted school years. And he says, look, we need to focus on the psychological supports that we offer children. And he firmly believes that roles such as play therapists, and we'll talk about that in a minute, in schools, though, need to be supported. He's also a very strong advocate for hot meal programmes. And in December, he spoke at a hearing with the Oireachtas Subcommittee on Education on this topic. He's an advocate for schools getting more long-term supports for needs like the food, like the emotional well-being, to help this generation thrive, as he says, after lockdown. So here Dr. Downes describes the importance of these kind of basic supports for children in more detail.
A key concern is that the COVID pandemic has exacerbated existing system weaknesses for a lot of vulnerable and marginalised students. So one of these is lack of adequate supports for students experiencing adverse childhood experiences, family mental illness issues, substance abuse issues, trauma. Poverty is another adverse childhood experience. So that group really need urgent services, and it is gratifying that the Joint Oireachtas Committee report on education in response to COVID has recognised that we need, as an urgent priority in their words, to have emotional counselling and therapeutic services in all our primary and post-primary schools. So if you've got children who are suffering from chronic anxiety and social phobia in response to the lockdown, where they feel that nothing can be done and they then engage in risk behaviours, for all of that cohort of students, we need the focused specialist services in schools, and so the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Education has made that key recommendation. So that's one dimension. Another dimension then would be the poverty issue and children's hunger. And again, the Committee on Education has made a recommendation that hot meals will be brought into schools in a phased way. I emphasised in my presentation to the committee that we must not repeat the mistakes of the last economic crash. Between 2008 and 2011, Ireland was the highest country for rate of increase of child poverty, and it soared again between 2011 and 2014. So it is hopeful in that context that there is a commitment. You know, we've already seen it, the last budget, a commitment to expanding 35,000 children to get more hot meals in schools, but that needs to be developed. And I think it's also interspersed with mental health issues, anxiety, depression and sleep loss. And I would also have concerns around the concentration levels of our students if they're out of the habit of reading and studying. So we need a much more substantive investment, not only over the summer, but also in really addressing the after-school supports regarding reading and maths awareness.
So Dr. Paul Downes there, and some of the points he was making, they were borne out, Evelyn, by the team you spoke to at the Rutland National School. For example, the play therapist at the school there, which we touched on earlier with Niamh, that's a key part of the team, according to Dr. Downes. But that role is going to run out of funding by the summer.
That's right. I mean, Principal Niamh Murray, again, spoke so passionately to me about the positive impact that someone like a play therapist, in their case it's Norma Kelly, but she has to help children who've been living in difficult and challenging circumstances. And she makes the point, look, we're trying to support children to readjust to regular school life and help halt that potential educational regression that some have experienced. And she and Dr. Downes identified play therapy as a key support to this. And talking to them, one of the things that really impressed me was they were saying, look, a child can't play if they're scared. So the idea of having a play therapist in a school like that, and they're actively saying we need this role, just, you know, is a really interesting point.
That's a really striking thing, that you need to have the child in an environment where they are comfortable, they feel safe, and they can get on with it. And then you don't know what's going to be expressed as a result of that. In fact, play therapy is probably a great idea for every school.
Some adults could do it as well, indeed. But yeah, definitely. And in the school, I thought it was interesting that they said that, because they said, look, we can create that environment, but we need the support. And Niamh Murray is saying, look, we are so keen to keep our play therapist on that the school is saying they'd love if even a sponsor could come forward to fund the role. So that's the kind of level we're at with the supports that they'd love to have.
So that's definitely going to end, as far as they know, by the summer.
Yes, at this point, that's okay. The funding situation.
You did get to speak to some of the children themselves. Tell us about your chats.
The fantastic children, full of observations and thoughts and ideas on how COVID has impacted on them. They are all so pleased to be back in school, Claire, back with their friends. And the real point they make to me is that it's great to be able to access the teacher in real life, because things like Wi-Fi and signal breaking down often affected their online learning. So here's some of the pupils outline their opinions on lockdown life, and we'll also hear from a member of the team.
Hi, my name is Ryan. I am in fifth class. I really like this school. In my opinion, it is the best school. because you get loads of facilities. You have two lunches. It's really good. And also, it's really fun because the work here, it seems tough, but it's not. Our teacher is really good at explaining things, which makes the work very easy. The first lockdown was a bit tough. I missed seeing my friends. I missed having fun. I missed learning in school because it's very tough doing it at home. My mum tried to help me as much as she could. I was very pleased to hear that we're coming back, and I was just very happy to meet my friends again and going back to learning again.
Hi, I'm Emma Nugent, the HSCL Homeschool Community Liaison for Rutland National School. This year has been really different for all of us because there hasn't been the balance that you'd usually have in the role. A lot of the role would be that you begin to know the parents, bringing the parents in for literacy and numeracy activities, building up the relationship between the parents and the teachers, which is really nice. I love that part of it. So what's happened this year is all the heavy stuff. A lot of problems or complexities that would be in families, that's a lot of what we're dealing with. Yet working quite intensely with families, which we would have always done, but there's more of that, not with the balance of the other universal stuff. Children that we would have been concerned about, we would have always had them in school, keep an eye on what was happening for them. So what happened was we weren't able to do that. So those children became hard to reach. I came back to work pretty early, and I know that a lot of the other homeschools do as well. And we come in and see our most at-risk kids.
I'm Tony and I'm in fifth class. The first lockdown was very hard because some people could do it online but other people doesn't have electronics, so it's very hard for them to get on Seesaw. Also, you don't really obviously have SNAs at home, but obviously you have your parents, but sometimes they won't be there. But when we were on Seesaw, it wasn't really the same. When I heard the schools were all coming back open, I was so happy because I got to see all my friends and all the teachers again. It was really nice because you actually know what you're doing, because no parent is obviously like a teacher, so it's very hard for them to figure out.
Thanks to all the pupils and staff at Rutland National School. Wouldn't it be great now, Evelyn, if we got a call to say that they got their funding for their play therapist from September?
Well, it'd be wonderful, because just standing there, you see what a key role it is, and it's such a brilliant school.
You're going to be on Drive Time on Thursday.
Yes.
This Thursday evening with the next part of this ongoing series. Evan, for now, thank you very much. We're going to Portugal next. British tourists have started to descend on the country's beach resorts once again.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.